Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Earlier in our program, Dahlia Lithwick from Slate was giving us some spot analysis of the nomination of Elena Kagan. She has seen in Kagan, who President Obama nominated for the U.S. Supreme Court this morning, someone who exemplifies what Dahlia called judicial temperament.
I think the dramatic thing is the extent to which she, as Solicitor General, has more of a judicial temperament. He, as the Chief Justice, almost has more of an advocate's temperament. And several people have noticed, and I think it's so important, Brian, that there is a little bit of friction between Roberts and Kagan at oral argument. He's quite tough on her. But I think it goes to this point that Obama was trying to make, which is it's just not her nature to be a fighter. She's not a swing-for-the-fences liberal. She's very, very calm, very mild. Robert, he's closer to an oral advocate than she is.
So she's not a swing-for-the-fences liberal. She's not an oral advocate, in Dahlia Lithwick's words, like Justice Roberts on the other side. And not everybody is happy with this. Salon's Glenn Greenwald, who has been writing critically of Elena Kagan for weeks, weighs in today with a zinger, as quoted on Time's website, which I'm looking at right now. Nothing is a better fit for this White House than a blank slate, institution loyal, seemingly principle-free careerist who spent the last 15 months as the Obama administration's lawyer, vigorously defending every one of his assertions of extremely broad executive authority, unquote. And the Time article says the liberal complaint against Kagan, when it is evident, has effectively two parts. First, there are too many questions about Kagan, given such a limited and in some ways ambiguous record. Second, Kagan is set to replace John Paul Stevens, a relative progressive on the court. It follows, therefore, that Kagan's confirmation could actually move the court to the right, an outrage given the concerted conservative effort over the last two decades to remake the federal courts, according to Greenwald. So what do you think, folks? Kagan, yes or no? Judicial temperament versus oral argument, oral advocate, more to the point. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you're in the liberal camp, let us know your position on this. Maybe this is just a first impression and you're hearing it for the first time. But in inside circles, this debate has been going on for weeks leading up to this nomination today. The very progressive Columbia University law professor, Patricia Williams, joins us to help take your calls. She writes the Mad Law Professor column in The Nation, among other things. Hi, Patricia. Thanks for coming back on WNYC. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
You have a quick impression here, yes or no?
She's certainly not liberal in any sense that could be called radical or left-left. And I suppose on some personal level, I would like to see somebody a little farther left-leaning. But on the other hand, I think that she is extremely well-suited to the job. I think she's very much like Obama herself. And I know that in the extraordinary stereotyping and hyperbolic moment that we have now, people picture Obama as being much more liberal than he actually is. But Obama, as I have said since the very beginning, is very much a centrist and a centrist Democrat in many, many ways, and as is Elena Kagan. What I like about Elena Kagan is that she is enormously thoughtful. She is a very, very smart person. She's somebody who balances in the greatest tradition of the law. If I don't always agree with some of her positions on particular issues, it's not a great disagreement. It's not a profound disagreement. And her logic is generally pretty unassailable. I think that given the powerful divisive passions of this moment, she's very much the best candidate one could hope for. And I'm more optimistic than not about her appointment.
Let's hear from some of our listeners. Howard in Forest Hills is up first. Hi, Howard. You're on WNYC.
Hi, I'm a conservative, and I am delighted with this appointment. I think temperament is virtually meaningless. Most judges, including Scalia and Thomas, have stated that it's very rare that one judge influences the opinion or decision of another. I think that he should, Obama, for his side, should have picked an ideologue, and I really believe that this is the best possible appointment for me, given that Obama is president. I am delighted. What I know of her, obviously she could change on the bench, but from what I know of her, I am thrilled.
Well, thank you very much. And Patricia Williams, interesting, coming from where that comes from. And do you think that it's true that judicial temperament, that there really is no convincing your colleagues on the bench of anything?
Well, no, I think that's, I mean, what bothers me about that precise opinion is, that position just voiced, is that it looks at the court as a model where there are, like World Federation Wrestling, that there are two extreme archetypes, and they smash each other in the face until, if they're of equal strength, nothing ever gets done, and you sort of call it a draw. And I think that hopefully a more accurate and considered model of the Supreme Court is that it's a place where people have ideas rather than are simply ideologues in the extreme sense. And the idea, and I think there are people on the court, and I do think that that's characteristic of the extreme right of this court, who do go entirely by, a sort of litmus test, and they have no intention of ever moving.
It's a wonderful.
And somebody who's fairly thoughtful and flexible, if that's perceived as somebody who's therefore soft, then I suppose that it's. But again, I think that only works if you're thinking of a World Federation Wrestling model.
It's a wonderful, wonderful thought for today: the distinction between ideas and being an ideologue.
Yeah.
Ed in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ed.
Yes, hi, Brian. I am not at all surprised, but still bitterly disappointed. I mean, this is the same thing that you get from centrist Bill Clinton. You get him running a list of his potential nominees by the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee, whereas, as you were just talking about, from Republican presidents, you get these far right-wing ideologues like Thomas and the rest. It's just you need to have a sense of balance here. You can't play fair and be all centrist and working together and across the aisle when the other side is putting people like Roberts on the court who just have no regard whatsoever for the law and, as we were talking about before, are more, trying to argue a case as opposed to judge a case.
Ed, thank you very much. Natalie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Natalie.
Hi. I'm actually a liberal, but in this case, I would come down in the argument of ideology versus temperament. I would come down on temperament because I would include, I hope correctly, under temperament, a solid knowledge of the law and a heartfelt belief in fairness. And I think those two things would go hand in hand with temperament and not ideology, which I really think has become a destructive force.
Thank you very much. And on our website, a few people commenting, like Karen, who writes, I think the answer to your question, temperament versus ideology, depends on the facts at hand. How's that for a lawyer's head, she says. In this case, Obama has a conservative Supreme Court with a swing voter who is less ideological than emotional. That's Kennedy. Kennedy is strongly influenced by strong personalities and intellects and hence has been following Roberts' lead. Kennedy needed a leader, and Kagan can lead. Another listener, going as Neo-Amsterdam, writes, ideologies are bought and sold depending on which is more convenient to the individual. Temperament puts distance between issues and its supporters' detractors. Kind of like what you were saying before, Patricia Williams. But, when Dahlia Lithwick from Slate was on earlier, she said, it's not like Justice Kennedy, who's 74 years old, is a blank slate. He's liberal on some things. He's more conservative on some things. It's not like 50-year-old Elena Kagan is going to come in and suddenly sway Justice Kennedy like a leaf in the wind if she has a good power of communicating arguments. What do you think?
I think that, again, it underestimates each of the justices to think that they are back there somehow being battered into submission. I think that the process, except for,
I think the process of deliberation is a very serious one at the Supreme Court. I have very little faith that that applies to, again, people like Scalia and Thomas and to some degree Roberts, because they really are, again, much more in the model of a form of judicial philosophy that gives very little wiggle room. But I think even the ones who are on the right are, and Kennedy in particular, is not somebody who, I mean, I think the very metaphor of a leaf in the wind diminishes the degree to which these people's ideas are based in principles. Wrong-headed principles in some instances. But, you know,
Patricia Williams from the Columbia Law School and the Mad Law Professor columnist for The Nation, thanks for joining us on this.
Thank you.
Last word to Suzanne on our comments page, who says, I think all this speculation is pointless. Who knows what she'll be like on the court over time? She's intelligent and thoughtful, which is fine by me, writes Suzanne. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.